Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chavav. We begin on the Mishnah, three lines from the top. The Mishnah is continuing in our Seder Hayom, the order of the day of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and this also applies for the normal way that they would do the payises, the different lotteries that they had for the daily activities around the Korban Tomid. And this Mishnah starts with the third payis. We previously had the first and the second payis, and now we deal with the third payis. A payis Ashlishi, the third payis that they would have. Chadoshim lakitores bo vafisu. We mentioned this in yesterday's shir, that those people that were newcomers to the Ketores, in other words, they had never done the Ketores, the burning of the incense activity. Incense was brought on the inner mizbeach and placed on it and burnt, both in the morning and bein arbayim. So anyone who had never had the schus to do this activity, they'd never burned the incense either in the morning or in the afternoon, they're chadoshim lektores, they're newcomers to this mitzvah of burning the ketores. Now they were told, bo vafisu, come, this is your chance to do this. Now, we'll see in a moment why this was only available for newcomers. We had already mentioned this in yesterday's show, because there was a school of Rashiris, and therefore everybody would want to do this, and therefore was limited to only do this once in a lifetime, because many, many Kohanim wanted to do this and wanted to give everybody a chance. That was the third pious, just for the Ketores. We had discussed previously that along with the Ketores, somebody had to bring in the coals. So the opinion of this mission is that that person who was Zocha to the Ketores would tell one of his fellow Kohanim, you come with me and you bring the coals inside to the Heichal, where I will then have them placed onto the Mizbeach, the inner Mizbeach, and then I will place the Ketores upon those coals. Fourth Pais, Varavi, Chadoshim Im Yishanim. Here we return and allow people that had done this avoda in the past to join those that had never done it before. Everybody, all Kohanim, were eligible to do the fourth pious, to engage in this fourth lottery. And this was Mimala Evarim and Akevesh Lamizbeach. This would determine who gets to go and take the Evarim from the Korban Tomid that were placed previously from the second pious up onto the ramp of the Mizbeach. They were on the eastern side of the ramp of the Mizbeach, about midway up. And now we have a new set of Kohanim, according to this Mishnah, that would engage in a lottery, who would get either, it would be one Kohen that would get to do all of them, or some say it would be six Kohanim that would take these six portions, the separated components of the Korban Tomid that would divide it up into the six portions that we had discussed previously, and yes, they shared the day before, and either one person or six people would now be newly selected to go bring this up and actually bring it onto the Mizbeach. That's all Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Tano, we learned in a Braisa, Me'olam lo shana adam ba, nobody was ever allowed to do the Haktaris, more than one time. Exception, of course, would be the Kohen Gadol, who was allowed to do the Avodah every single day, if he wished to. But a regular Kohen couldn't do this Avodah more than once. Once he did it once, he wasn't eligible to do it again. Why? My timer. What's the reasoning that we didn't allow a Kohen to repeat this? So Amar Ruchanina, Ruchanina tells us the famous Vart, Vipnei Shema Sheres, because the person who did the bringing of the Ketores, it was a scholar, it was a zechus, that he would become very wealthy. And therefore, everybody wanted to do this. Now, the Chassam Sofer is very much bothered by this. He's tomo, he's in shock, so to say. Madua hayu makpidim amomon yoser mi mitzvos. Why? Because of money. Oh, you're going to get rich, so we don't let you do it again. As opposed to, he has a chance to do the mitzvah again. So we're not going to let him do the mitzvah again because of a monetary concern. And in general, we don't find for all the other mitzvahs that we say, oh, well, you've done this mitzvah once, so we better let somebody else get the chance to do it. There we don't seem to say that this is important. It seems that he says, al ashiris ikpidu, shol yishana bo, only concerned for wealth, as opposed to doing the mitzvah, that we're not concerned about. Then he has another question, more hashkafish question. He says, because this person wants to get rich, so we let other Kohanim do it, that seems to go against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why would they stop somebody from getting to do this twice? So he brings various utsim based upon the Gemara in Moed Katan, that it says, Shebenei Chaye Ubinzone, that how much a person is going to live and how much a person is going to have in terms of Parnasa, Lo B'schus HaTayimilsa, that's not dependent upon the schusim that you have, Elba Mazla, that falls under the general category of Mazel. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer says, Tzorech Lomar Shaktores Shema'as Sheres Hi Kischus Gedola Shayoda Mishtana HaMazel. They wanted to do this because it could change the Mazel of a person. And he brings down the Tosus in Shabbos, which tells us, Ayidei Zechus Gedola, via doing a great schus, such as doing the Haktores Haktores, you could be Mishana Mazel. Furthermore, he adds, Tzorech Lomar Shafilu Odom Shu Asher Gadol Tzorech Laktoris. One could say, well, listen, I'm already a wealthy person. I don't need to do the Torahs. No, he Badavka also needs to do it to preserve his wealth, because it could easily be that a person could lose his wealth. The world is a galgal mistovev. It constantly turns and rotates, and one time you're at the top, the next day you could be at the bottom. And therefore, it's to protect his wealth, he would want to do this as well. You see many people that do various mitzvahs and they don't get wealthy from them. So he says there are other factors involved. And he says, hachet gorim. Sometimes sins can be impacting what otherwise would have been a zchus for you, but sins can change it around. And therefore, he's meyashev shebe'emes, b'chol ha'kabonos en lunoa mekon lezachos pamayim. We should never, ever stop any kohen from doing the avodah more than once if he's zocha to do it. Hakol meyo ito yisparach. Every kohen is going to kodesh baruch. But he says, b'yashiris over here, shekiven she'efsho she'mazolo she'lechod nilcham kidegdo. Since here it could be going against the person's own good, so to say, then lo zechus gedolo b'shul enatzeach mazol. He doesn't have any zechus that can go and countermand this mazol, exactly how this works. And even if you're wealthy, it could turn it around. So therefore, this is the exception to the rule. Okay, very deep concepts over here that the Chassam Sofer brings down. Ayin Shem for further to understand this. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Papa, Li Abaye, Rav Papa says to Abaye, Mai Taima, why? How does it work that the bringing of the Ketorah should be making a person wealthy? So if you're going to tell me, Ilei Mo Mishum Dechsev in the Pasuk, Yosimu Ketorah B'Apecha, when the person brings the Ketores, so you go and do this in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then in the next Pasuk it says, Uksiv Basrei Borech Hashem Chelo, that Hashem will bless that person's handiwork, he'll bless all that he does. So then you could argue at the end of the pasuk, this is where Rashi understands it, says Yosimu Ketorah B'Apecha V'Chalil Amizbechecha, and Ihochi Olanami Ksiv right afterwards. So just bringing the regular carbon ola should be also a zchus, regular carbon tamid. And we don't find any prohibition against a person participating multiple times in the lottery to do the carbon tamid, so that can't be the reason. Now, that's the way Rashi understands it. The Tosfos Yeshanim brings down the Rabbeinu Chananel right here on the daf and says this is actually referring to a pasuk in Shmuel where they took a tle and vayaleu ola kolil. That's what it's referring to. In any event, why are you telling me only for the Torahs? It should be also for an Ola. So Abaye answers, he says, Amalei. Rav Papa was the one that asked this question. So he answers to Rav Papa, Hoshchicha v'haloshchicha. It all depends. The Ketores, the simple way of understanding this is like Rashi says that Mistabra, the Kikosiv, Osher, Adalo Shricha. You only get wealthy for something that's not a regular occurrence because the Im locate otherwise, Vinsu HaKol Hashem. If everybody who ever participated in the Carbon Ola would become rich, so then all the Kohanim would be wealthy. So therefore, just Mistam, it must be talking about something that's rare. Now, in the Gilyan Ashas, he points out that that's not correct. He says, look in the Divrei Tosus Yishonim for a different Pshat. And if you look in the Tosus Yishonim, he says, that every single person could go and bring their own carbonola. So if a carbonola was a school for Ashiras, then everybody could go and get it. And that's why you can't say it's applying to a carbonola, as opposed to the Ketores, which is not allowed to be brought by everybody. It's just brought once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Therefore, that must be the school for Ashiras only there. Baruch Hashem Chelo only applies to that and not to the carbonola. Since we started dashing this pesukim, we dash them a little bit further. Omer Rav, Rav says, "Lo mishkachas tzuv mirabanan. Tzuv mirabanan is a Talmud Chacham. We don't find the young Talmud Chacham demore that he'll be successful in being a mora halacha unless Ella the Osi mishavet Levi, unless he comes from Shevet Levi or Omishavet Yisachar. These two shvatim, they have a predilection, if you wish, for their Talmud Chachamim to become more hara. They should be big Talmud Chachamim. Where is this based upon? So this is based upon the pesukim where it says Levi dichsev." By Levi, it says, Yoru Mishpatecho Yaakov. Shevet Levi is described as being the ones that will be the teachers of Halacha to Yaakov. So therefore, we see that this is the statement that Moshe Rabbeinu says, is a valedictory address, and he says that Levi will be the ones that will teach Halacha. Likewise, by Yisachar, Dirsiv, it says by Yisachar, now we have the Girsa, Ubinei Yisachar, but the Pasuk really says, Umi Binei Yisachar, Yodei Bina. They will be the ones that will know Bina. They'll have wisdom and understanding, Le'itim, to be able to go and intercalate the year. That basically means that they'll understand the calendar, they'll have the wisdom to understand when we should have a leap year, when we shouldn't have a leap year, how to do this. So they're big, big Talmidei Chachamim. La'das, Ma'yas El Yisrael. They'll know what to do for Klai Yisrael. In other words, they'll be the ones that will teach Klai Yisrael. So we see that Shevet Levi and Shevet Yisrach will have this special predilection. Where it says, Nuv Ema Yehuda Nami, why don't we say this about Yehuda? Because it also says about Yehuda, in Tehillim it says, Dechsiv Yehuda Mechokiki. The Pasuk tells us that Yehuda is referred to Li Gilav Li Menashe Ephraim Oz Roshi Yehuda Mechokiki. Yehuda will be the ones that will be the ones that are chokik. They'll chisel out all of the laws. So Gemara says, Rava answers us, no. Asuki Shmaita Liba the Hilchasor Kamina. When Rava said his statement that you're not going to find young Tamidei Chachamim that are going to be zochah to be Mara Halacha except those coming from Levi and Yisachar, that's going to be the ones that we paskin like them. This is what's called Asuki Shmaisa, that they go and learn Aliba the Hilchasor to the correct halachic answer. And that's what Amina, that's what Rava was saying, I meant. Now, this pasuk from Tehillim does say that Yehuda will be a chokek, they'll be the ones that will paskin shilas, but they're not going to be paskin them aliba the hilchasa. Their opinion will not be accepted as the majority opinion. Tosas asks a very good question. Tosas says, Yesh Maksha, the top Tosas, Amailo Maisi, Midrashim, why aren't we in the pasuk in the Torah that says, Lo Yasur Shevet Miyuda, Umchokek Mibain Raglov? So, that's the Birchus Yaakov. Why don't we see that as a pasuk? So Tosuk gives a very practical answer. Yesh Lomar. He says, Dahai Bibracha. Who? That was the bracha that Yaakov gave to his sons, Dilsiv, where it was stated, Abu Mehaikra Maise Shekacha Ya Sheb Yehuda Yesh Mechokikim. Here it's telling us that while there will be Mechokikim in Yehuda, they won't necessarily be the ones that their halacha is accepted halacha l'maisa. It's interesting that David HaMelech, so it says about him that his halacha was always accepted halacha l'maisa. He was always passing aliba de hilchasa. So he's from Yehuda, so certainly there are many exceptions to these rules, but in general, Rava was saying that the main poskim are going to come from Shevet Levi and from Shevet Yisachar. Gemara continues and says, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Eimi faisin al tomit shobein arbayim. We don't have a pious for the tomit shobein arbayim. All the four paisos that we're talking about were for the korban tomit shol shachris. But the korban tomit in the afternoon, we don't have a separate pious for it. Rav Yochanan says, Ella, Kohen shezocha bo b'shachris, zocha bo b'yarvis. The same group of Kohanim that was zocha by shachris time, they pick it up and do it again in the afternoon. Don't need a separate pious for it. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Gemara is going to question this from several prices. First of all, we start off and say, Meisvei says in the following brisa, Kishem shemefaisin shachris, kach mefaisin ben rabayim, says beferish in this brisa, just like we have the pious by shachris for the korban tamid shel shachris, we have the same pious for the korban tamid shel ben rabayim. So how you can, Rav Yochanan, how can you go against the brisa? You're an amora, a great, great amora, but you usually don't go against the brisa. So what are you going to do about this brisa? So Gemara says, ki tanya hi biktoris. So Rav Yochanan would answer that this brisa is not talking about the korban tamid shel shachris. This is talking about the ketores. We just said that everybody only gets to do the ketores once. So therefore, while you have a separate pious for the ketores in the morning, you need to have a separate pious for the ketores in the afternoon. But the rest of the korban tamid, the same kohanim that did it in the morning, can do it in the afternoon. So that's the first simple teretz that Rav Yochanan gives. Mora jumps right back and says Vatanya, but it says in another brisa, kishem shemefaisim lo. Here we add the word lo. Shachris, kach mefaisin lo arvis, just like we do for it. Now, it is masculine, Tosus says. Tosus of Dibro Maskel Votanya says, Pirish, vahacha, lo motzi l'shuni b'ketoris. You can't say that this is talking about the ketoris, like the first time he answered the brisa, because migdiktoni lo, which is masculine, lashon zohar. Alma the tomid kamari must be referring to the tomid shel shachris, and like you have a separate pious for that lo, you also have a separate pious lo for the korban tomid shel ben arbayim. But if it was talking about the ketores, that's a lashon nekeva, and it would have said la. So therefore, here's the kasha v'atanya. It says in the brisa, kishem shemafaisin lo, meaning the korban tamid shel shachris, kach mafaisin lo, meaning the korban tamid shel ben arbayis, arvis. So kasha on Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says it's a misprint. Ema la. You're right. The gears in this brisa should be kishem shemafaisin lo, which means the ketores of shachris, kach mafaisin lo for the ketores shel ben arbayim for arvis. Okay, great. So Rav Yochanan got out of the first two. Let's see how he gets out of this one. But Tanya, we have another brisa that says beferish both girsos. Kishem shemefaisin lo shachris kach mefaisin lo arvis. Kishem shemefaisin lo shachris kach mefaisin lo arvis. Now here it uses both lo and lo, so it's talking about just like you have by the korban tamid shel shachris and by the ketores of shachris of pious. So too the brisa says beferish. So too you have a separate pious for the korban tamid shel bein harabayim, as well as the ketores of arvis of bein harabayim. Kasha on Rav Yochanan. So how's he going to get out of that? So I'm Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak says, not a problem. This brisa hacha b'Shabbos askinan. We're talking here on Shabbos. Why is Shabbos any different? Shabbos has a switch over in it. Shabbos, we switch over, and Hoel Umishmarus Mischachos, as Rashi says, Umishmar Sho'ovat Shachris Eino Oved Bein Horabayim. So it's a switchover day, and therefore the Mishmar, the 24 Mishmaros, they were on for the week, and then on Shabbos, both the oncoming and the offgoing Mishmar served on Shabbos. The one that was leaving after the week's work worked in the morning, and the one that was coming on, they started working in the afternoon. So therefore, you had to have a separate pious, because the Kohanim that were working Shabbos morning were not the same ones that were working Shabbos afternoon. So that's why this third Bryce is only talking about on Shabbos. But Yochanan is correct. In general, there is no need to have a separate pious in the morning and the afternoon, because the only thing that you have a separate pious for is the Ketores, as we learned, but not for the Korban Tomid Shoshachris. The same Kohanim that did the Korban Tomid Shoshachris do it Bein Harbayim, the one exception being Shabbos morning when it's a different group of Kohanim. So Mishmar number one, that is leaving the service that week, that Shabbos is the day that they leave, so they do in the morning. And Mishmar number two, the next Mishmar that comes in, they'll start taking over in the afternoon, so they'll do the Korban Tomid Shoh Bein Harbayim. So Shabbos is different. So all three brises, Rav Yochanan was able to answer. Mor now asks, and according to the way we started, okay, Rav Yochanan is okay, but according to the way we originally started, Ulamai the Solik Adaiti Mekar. But what were we thinking originally when we asked this question? When we started off questioning Rav Yochanan, we said that there's a pious in the morning and a pious in the afternoon, then that would lead to Nefisha Luhu Payasos. That would lead to five piouses. And we just said that there are only four. So where was that questioner coming from? So Gemara says, no, who said that there was a fifth pious? All the questioner was asking Rav Yochanan was, Maisei Kulu Mitzafra Osu, that there were only four piousos. And when they did the pious for the Korban Tomid Shel Shachris, at the same time, they also did the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim. And they said, Dezoche Be Shachris Zochri, and Dezoche Be Arvi Zochri. So there's still only four piousos. So they had only four lotteries. And when they did the second pious, where they did, who would do the Korban Tomid Shel Shachris, the questioner was saying, they also simultaneously did a pious for the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim. And that was the original question on Rav Yochanan from this brisa. And again, Rav Yochanan got out of these three questions from these three brisas as we discussed. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the fourth pious, Horvi, so there we said, that while the third one only had newcomers, only anybody who hadn't done the Ketores was eligible to join this pious. But if you did the Ketores once in your career, you couldn't do it again. But the fourth pious, they invited back anybody that had done this before to go join in with the people that had never done this before. So Ravi, Chadoshim, Im Yeshonim, Vechule. The newcomers, as well as the old people who had done it already, are allowed to go and do it and enter the lottery. So Gemara says, our Mishnah Masnisin is the law, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It doesn't go in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. What did he say? Titnan. We have the Mishnah is in Tomid. And Mishnah in Tomid tells us, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Omer, he holds Hamala Evarim Lakevesh, the Kohen that goes and takes the limbs. We said previously, everybody agrees to that, that they didn't do it in one fell swoop. They didn't take the six Kohanim that had the component parts of the Ola that was chopped up. We said that they cut it up into Nisachah, Benitachol Sol Nisachah, they cut it up into those six component parts. So we said that everybody agreed that they put it down in the middle of the Kevesh, whichever order. We had the four Brises, probably the fifth opinion from the Mishnah, that we said that they put it down in whatever order that they did it, they put it down in the eastern part of the middle part of the Kevesh. So everybody agrees that then they took it from there up to the top of the Mizbeach to be Machterit. And in Talmud it says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds Hamala Evarim Lakevish Humalos on the Mizbeach. So he holds that they didn't have a separate pious over here, like we said is the fourth pious. Our Mishnah said that they did a separate pious who will now take them from the middle of the Kevesh and put them up and be mocked to them on the top of the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov disagrees with the author of our Mishnah, and he says, no, the original Kohanim that was Ochet to put it in the middle of the Kevesh, so they got to continue doing the Avodah a little bit later on and bring and be mocked to it on the top of the Mizbeach. So our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, argues with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. No, what are they arguing about? B'mai k'miflugi. So Mar Sovar, the Tana of our Mishnah, he holds that Birov Am Hadras Melech, that it's much better to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to increase the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Birov Am. We have this principle in many areas of Halacha, Birov Am Hadras Melech, he's supposed to daven in the larger minion, all things are equal, daven in the larger minion, go and do things in a more public way when you're doing a mitzvah. One person should make kiddush for everybody in an ideal situation. So, Berov Am Hadras Melech. This principle is applicable here as well. If you have a lot of people, so better to have some of them do the first half of the avoda and some of them do the second half of the avoda. That glorifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name even more. That's the opinion of the Tana of our Mishnah. That's why the second pious and the fourth pious dealt with the bringing of the component parts of the carbon tamid up to the middle part of the Mizbeach with the first group from the pious sheni, and then bringing it up in the middle of the Mizbeach to the top of the Mizbeach and sacrificing it with the fourth pious revi. That's the Tanakama on Mishnah. However, Umar Sava, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov from the Mishnah in Talmud, he holds differently. He says, if you separate this out, it looks like it's just too much of a hassle for one person to have to do the whole avoda. Oh, I have to be matriach myself to do the whole avoda. So therefore, we give it to somebody else. Let somebody else finish it off. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Malkum Shechina, the place of the Shechina, we shouldn't make it even look for a second. Lav Orach Ara, it's improper. As Rashi says, L'mischaze keman detariach le'milsa. It looks like it's a bother for one person to go do the whole avoda. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is better to have one person do the whole thing. So therefore, he doesn't need the fourth pious. The person who won the second pious would also do the fourth pious. And therefore, there was no need for a fourth pious. That's according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, if he doesn't have this fourth pious, so he thinks that there is a fourth pious, so what does he do with the fourth pious? So I'm a rabbah, lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, isle Rabbi Yehuda, and lo Rabbi Yehuda, isle Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So obviously, since Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold that there's this fourth pious here to teach us which kohen is ocha to bring from the middle of the kevesh up to the top of the mizbeach, the carbon tamid, because it's the same kohanim, so he must have something else as the fourth pious. But therefore, he can't hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? So Rashi reminds us that Rabbi Yehuda held previously, Domar, lo ya pious lamachta. Rabbi Yehuda held that there was only a pious for the ketores, and that the person who won that pious, he just chose one of his fellow kohanim to go bring the coals, to go bring to the inner mizbeach, and put them on the inner mizbeach, and then he could do the ketores aspect. So there was no separate pious for the machta. Along comes Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov and says, no, that's the fourth pious. That's the extra pious that I hold from, that they did have a pious for the one who would be gizolcha to bring the coals into the Mizbeach HaPnimi. There was a separate pious for that. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that there wasn't a separate pious, so then you couldn't hold like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. And if you hold like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, you obviously didn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Gemara says. Amar Rava, lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, isle Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda, isle Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because the imkain, if that was so, batrulu payasos, because if they each held like each other, so then we wouldn't have four paisos, because if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov held like Rabbi Yehuda, so then he would only have three paisos. And if Rabbi Yehuda held like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he would only have three paisos. But we said that everybody agrees that there are four paisos, so therefore each of them can't hold like the other one's shita. Furthermore, Rava says, V'yimish kachas tana detoni chomesh, and if in fact you were to find a tana that holds that there are five paisos, so then clearly that tana could not hold and return to the Omid Beis, Chavov Omid Beis. That tana could certainly not be how would the Loker of Elazar ben Yaakov or the Loker of Yehuda. He obviously couldn't hold like either of these two shitas, not like the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, nor the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because if you hold that there are five, so by definition, you have to hold that there was a fourth pious for bringing from the middle of the Kevesh up to the top of the Mizbeach. That's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And if you hold that there's a fifth pious, so you hold like the Shita that says there are four piousos over here, and then you have to also hold, not like Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds it's a separate pious, this additional Tana for the Machta, which Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold. So if there is a Tana that you'd find that holds that there are five piousos, it can't be either like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or like Rabbi Yehuda. And they can't hold like each other, because then there would only be three piousos. So therefore, the bottom line is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now we go to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to tell us how many Kohanim were involved at various times during the year. During the calendar year, there were times that they had 9 Kohanim involved in the bringing of the Korban Tamid, sometimes 10, sometimes 11, and sometimes 12, never more and never less. What are we talking about? So the Mishnah begins. Tamid, the normal Tamid Shel Shachris, is going to be brought Karib Betisha by 9 Kohanim. Now, wait a second, you're asking yourself, didn't we just learn this a day or two ago? We said that there were 13 Kohanim involved in the pious for the Korban Tamid Shel Shachris, and how come you're telling me now only 9? So the Tosfos Yeshanim asked this question, and he says that this is only talking about the Seder Holeches Evari Tamid Ketani. This is only talking about the actual carbon tamid. The lo chashiv, we don't include over here avodas hadam, the shchita or the zrika, we don't include that, and we likewise don't include the dishun shahayu lefneze, nor do we include the trumas hadeshen from the mizbeach, nor do we include the inner mizbeach, the trumas hadeshen from the bizneach hapnimi. We don't include any of those because they were done before the carbon tamid. So here we're just discussing the actual carbon tamid itself. And that's why there are only 9 on a regular day. Now back to the Mishnah. So tamid karav tisha, there are 9. And sometimes basara, sometimes they're 10. And sometimes b'achadasar, sometimes 11. And sometimes b'shneimasar, sometimes 12. Lo pachos, lo yosef. Never less than 9, never more than 12. Ketzad. Under what circumstances do we have that there's 9, 10, 11, and 12? So the Mishnah explains. On a regular day, atzmo, on a plain weekday, when there's nothing special, no yontif, no Shabbos, no holiday, nothing special, so then there's the 9 kohanim, betisha. The 6 that we mentioned in regards to the different parts of the body. So we said there was the Rosh and the Regel, there were the Shnei Yadayim, we had the Shnei Defanos, we had the Oketz and the Regel, and we had the Chazi and the Gera. And then we had the Kirbayim. So those were 6 kohanim that brought it. So those 6 are always going to be every single day of the year. And then you have the 3 additional ones that you have, which are bringing the chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, the regular mincha that comes along with the Karban Tamid, and the yayin for the nesachim that comes along. So those are the 6 plus the 3. That's on a regular day. Petisha. Now, when it's sukkahs, b'chag, chag is always the term that we use in the Gemara, and the Mishnah is for sukkahs. Doesn't mean chag in general, it means sukkahs. So then you have an extra kohen that's needed in the morning only, b'yad echad tzluchas shomayim. You needed another kohen, because in addition to the wine and flour libations that came with the Karban Tavid, on sukkahs, we dash down halach l'moshe m'sinai, there's an asmachta from the psukim, there's an extra mem, a yud, and a mem in the psukim dealing with the karbanos that are brought on sukkahs, so we darshan out this halach l'moshe m'sinai, where the asmachta from the psukim teaches us that one Kohen also did Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos. That's why we have the Simchas Pesach HaShaweva for this water libation. So that's the 10th Kohen that you need, the 9 that are standard every day, plus on Sukkos you have the 10th one, and this is only in the morning, it's not in the afternoon, based upon the drushes. So therefore, Harikanasar, that's why you sometimes have 10 Kohanim in this lottery. Then, Beinu Abayim, in the Karban Shel Beinu Abayim, we don't have the water, however, while we have in the morning, we have one Kohen carrying the Shnei Gezira Eitzim, and the Mepharshim say, why isn't that included? That's because that is done, the Maracha, the Seder HaMaracha, is done before the Karban Tamid Shol Shacharis. So therefore, it's not included, just like the Dishon HaMizbeach, and just like the Shchit and the Zrika, they're all done at the beginning, before you do the Haktara of the Emurim and of the Evarim. So too, the Maracha is set up by one Kohen in the morning, so he's not included over here. But the Talmud Shel Beinu Arbayim, the Mishnah tells us, you need 11 Kohanim, B'yachadasor, on a regular day, not on Sukkos, on a regular day, albeit on Sukkos, the same thing applies, because there's only Nisuch HaMayim in the morning, there's no Nisuch HaMayim in the afternoon. So here we're dealing just with a regular day, where you bring the Karban Talmud Shel Beinu Arbayim, so you have the regular 9 people, and you have 2 Kohanim in addition, because Hu Atzmo B'tisha, the regular 9, and then Ushnayim, you have 2 Kohanim, B'yodom Shnei Gezira Eitzim, that they each hold one block of wood, so that the 2 of them together hold both blocks of wood, and that's why you get 11. As I said, in the morning, it's also the 2 blocks of wood are brought. The Shnei Gezira Eitzim are brought in the morning, but in the morning, based upon the Psukim, the only, which will darshan out in the Gemara, only one Kohen brings them, and that Kohen sets it up before the Karban Tamid, so that's why it's not included in the regular 9. It would have said otherwise the 10, but it's not. So here, you have the regular 9 plus 2 in the afternoon. So that's the 11. And now, on Shabbos, you also have 11. Shabbos also a Chadasar. Now here, we're talking about the Karban Tamid Shel Shacharis. How do you have 11? Because Hu Atzmo B'tisha, you have the base 9. And then, you, in addition, on Shabbos morning, have the Lechem Aponim that have on the top of them the Shnei Bazichei Levona, the 2 ladlefuls of Levona on the top of each pile of the 6 Lechem Aponim. Ushnayim, 2 Kohanim have to go and carry the Yodam, Shnei Bezichei Levona, Shalechem Aponim. They take it off from the Shulchan, and they go and amakter it on the Mizbeach. So you need another 2 Kohanim on Shabbos morning. You don't have that on a weekday morning, and you don't have that in the afternoon. So that's another way that you sometimes need 9 plus 2 Kohanim, 11 Kohanim. How do we ever get 12? So on Shabbos, Shabbosocha Chag, on a regular Shabbos, when you have 11, you only need 11. But when it's Shabbos Sukkis, so now you have the 12th one for the Nisuch HaMayim. So you have the 9 base, you have the 2 for the Bezichi Levona, and you have the 1 with the Tzluchi Shomayim for the Nisuch HaMayim. That's how you can get 12. You never have less than 9, you never have more than 12. Gemara starts and says, Amar Rabbi Abba, or alternatively, Vitema Rami Bar Chama, or alternatively, Vitema Rabbi Yochanan, one of these three great Amaroim, Rabbi Abba, or Rabbi Bar Chama, or Rabbi Yochanan, said the following, Ein Minaschin Mayim Bechog Ela Besomet Shel Shachar, that you only go and bring Nisuch HaMayim by Shachris, by the Korban Tomet Shel Shachris, but we don't go and bring it by the Korban Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim. The Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, and it's only by Shachris, and it is not by the Korban Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, our Mishnah, read the Ketani, it said in our Mishnah, U'bishabbis shebisochechag, we said only on Shabbos that comes out on Sukkis, b'yad echot Tzluch HaShomayim. Only by Shachris do we have this. Now, if, in fact, Esau Kedaitach, if you're going to tell me, B'tomet Shel Bein Arbayim, we also are Minaschin, so then, even on a weekday, you would be able to have 12, because you always have the regular 9 that you have on a regular Korban Tomet, and in the afternoon of every weekday, we had the 2 Kohanim with the Shnei Gezira Eitzim, and if you also did Nisuch HaMayim, so then you'd have Nisuch HaMayim and the B'tomet Shel Bein Arbayim, you'd have 12 on a weekday. But our Mishnah said, only on Shabbos Sukkis do we have 12, and therefore, if it were true that you had Nisuch HaMayim in the afternoon, b'chol nami mishkachas lo, and since our Mishnah didn't state that, it must be a proof that there is no Nisuch HaMayim in the afternoon. So that's what these three Amoraim, one of these three Amoraim said this, and Amar Rav Ashi, yeah, afa na nami tnina. This goes in accord with a Mishnah in Sukkah, because the Mishnah in Sukkah says, v'laminaseh, the one who did the Nisuch HaMayim, Omer lo, we tell him, you got to be doing this very carefully, because again, this is one of those areas where the Tztukim had a different approach. They said you don't pour Nisuch HaMayim on the Mizbeach, because it doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. This is a drasha the Chazal had, and this is Aloch L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and the Tztukim didn't believe in Aloch L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So when they would have a Tztuki go up there and do this, he would not pour it into the right place on the southwestern corner, into the Safal, the bowl that was over there, and it went down from there into the underground area underneath the Mizbeach via conduit that went down from the Safal, the bowl that was in the southwest corner. So they poured it on the side. So therefore they warned the person doing the Nisuch HaMayim, you better show us your hands and pour it from up high so we can see that you're pouring it into the Safal and not pouring it off somewhere on the side and not doing the Nisuch HaMayim because you're at Stuki. So that's what it says in the Mishnah and Sukkah. The Lamanasek, to the one who's doing the Nisuch HaMayim, they tell to him, listen, careful, Omelo Hagbe Yodekar, lift up your hands. Because one time there was a Tztuki who did it. Shepam echad nisach agabi raglav. The one time there was a Tztuki that made believe he was doing the Nisuch HaMayim, but he just poured it on his feet. And he didn't pour it into the safol. He didn't pour it into the bowl that was there, the collecting chamber that led down through a conduit to the shisin down at the bottom of the Mizbeach. And therefore they stoned him. Urgamuhu kola'am v'yestrogeyam. So they went and stoned him with their esrogim. Now, the Mefarshim will point out, when do you hold your esrogim? You only hold your esrogim by Shachris time. That's the normal time that you hold your esrogim, and therefore, it must have been that this was done only by Shachris time. Now, incidentally, some suggest that it wasn't just the esrogim. They also threw stones at him. And in fact, this Maisa elsewhere, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that it actually broke the Mizbeach one time, because they were throwing the stomach stones, and not just the esrogim, it actually chipped the Mizbeach. Now, the Tosfos Yeshanim asks a very interesting question over here, and this is in Dibur Hamaskul or Gomu or Ambi Esrogim. He says, Alma, you see from here, Hayanisuch Betomid Shel Shachar only. Now, he says, there was a custom, the Athalpi, Sha'anshi Yushalayim, the holy people that are living in Yushalayim, they held the Lulav and Esrog all day long. They loved the mitzvah so much. Hayunotlin Kol Hayom Esrogeyan Biyodeyan. They would hold their Esrog all day long. So maybe this was later in the day when they threw their Esrogs. Because Mistama, they weren't in the shul, they weren't in the Beis HaKnesses in the afternoon at that time. That wasn't the time for Tvila. They were doing the Korban Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim. That wasn't necessarily the time that people would be gathered over there, as opposed to Shachris time when they were gathered there to daven Shachris. So therefore, the raya is a good raya. The Mistama, it was only by Shachris. That's what Rav Ashi wants to bring a raya from this Mishnah in Sukkah. Now the Gemara tells us, we had the Shnei Geziri Eitzim, we said that you only brought, one Kohen brought the Shnei Geziri Eitzim by the Korban Tamid Shal Shachris, and you needed two Kohanim by the Korban Tamid Shal Bein Hor Abayim. So how is this darshan down? So Gemara says, Tanya, we're learning a Braisa. Reb Shimon Yochai Omer, Reb Shimon Yochai, the great Rashid B. We just had Lag BaOmer, Hilula, the Reb Shimon Yochai, and again, we're learning for a continued Refuah Shleim of all the people in Nebuch that were hurt at the Kebra Reb Shimon Yochai in Meiron. So they should continue to have a full shlema. And learning in this chus, Rav Shimon bar Yochai's statement, they should have a full shlema. So the Rashbi, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, said, "Minayin l'tomid shel bein hor abayim." How do we know that the tomid shel bein hor abayim shaton shnei geziri eitzim b'shnei kohanim? Where do we know this? You're telling me one kohen brings both geziri eitzim in the morning. How do we know that two kohanim bring the shnei geziri eitzim in the afternoon? So this is based upon the psukim. Shenemar v'yarchu eitzim alam is beyach. The whole pasuk is at the beginning of Vayikra. It says, "V'nosu bnei Arad haKohen eish al mizbeach v'orchu," and they, plural, arrange the eitzim al ha'esh. So therefore, it implies that there are two kohanim. From the plural lashon v'orchu, they went and arranged it, so it must be two kohanim. And when was this? Was this by Shachris, or was this by Bein Hor Abayim? So the Gemara says, Rishon bar Yochai continues his drasha. He says, "If you don't need this to teach me the process by the Tamid Shel Shachar, because I already learned what the Tamid Shel Shachar was, because Dichsib, the pasuk says, 'Ubiyer oleo haKohen eitzim baboker baboker v'yarach oleo lo v'ktir oleo chavei hashlamim.' It already taught us in an earlier pasuk, right before this pasuk that we just said, 'V'orchu eitzim,' it said right before that that only a single Kohen." V'yer oleha ha-kohen. One kohen did the marocha in the morning. He brought the shnei geziri eitzim in the morning. So therefore, if one kohen brought in the morning, but the other pasuk seems to imply two kohanim brought it, it must be, Rav Shimon Yochai says, Tenehu inyan l'tamid shel bein hor abayim. The second pasuk is going on the tamid shel bein hor abayim. This is a type of drasha, and therefore, one kohen in the morning and two kohanim in the afternoon. That's how we learn it out. Maybe that's not though right. The Mora says, Ve'ema, idi v'idi b'tamid shel shachar. Maybe both of them are talking about the tamid shel shachar. And you know what? V'yomer rachmana, ovid v'hadar ovid. Maybe first one kohen brings one of the pieces of wood, and then you have two kohanim to bring the other piece of wood. That's one way to possibly learn this. There are other ways to possibly learn it, but that's the Gemara's question. Who says it's talking about the korban tamid shel shachris, and the second one is talking about the korban tamid shel bein hor abayim? Maybe it's talking about the two blocks of wood. One is talking about the first block of wood, and one is talking about the second block of wood. The Gemara says, if that were true, im kein, ne'makra ubier ubier. It would say the same lashon. It would have said ubier, and then it would have said ubier. Why did it change it and say v'yorchu? Now, some have a girsa that we have in our Gemara, and some don't. I'll read the girsa that we have, but it's actually much easier to understand the Gemara without this, but we'll explain it the best we can with the girsa that we have. So the Bach actually deletes all this. So ikas of rechmona uvier, the Gemara says, maybe that's not a good answer, because if you just wrote the word bier, and then you wrote the word bier again, I would have said, havamina chad in trey lo. It has to be one kohen doing it each time. Therefore, komash malon, it has to teach me, by using a different word, that the second time it has to be two kohanim. And that the navid chad, the navid trey. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya. But the Gemara says, if that were true, im kain, then ne'makra ubier ubiaro, or inami v'yorach v'yorchu. Then it should have kept the same language. Okay, you're going from one to two, so you have to change from singular to plural. So go from bier for the singular and biaru for the plural. Or go from orach for the singular, for the first piece of wood, and v'yorchu for the second piece of wood. My, why do you change it around and say ubier by the first piece of wood and then v'orchu by the second piece of wood? It must be that it's not talking about the first piece of wood and the second piece of wood. Elushmamina kidaka amrinun. It's like we suggested originally, like Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, that when it says ubier, that's talking about one kohen doing both shnei geziri eitzim in the morning. And when it says v'orchu, it means two kohanim doing it in the afternoon. And that's why we learn that there are two kohanim doing the shnei geziri eitzim, one kohen for each piece of the wood, in the afternoon. Now, Tani Rabbi Chia learned in the following braisa, Payis, Pamim Shloshasar, Pamim Arbaasar, Pamim Chamishasar, Pamim Shishasar. Ah, we can now understand this braisa that Rabbi Chia learned, because we know why sometimes you have 13. That's in the regular situation, when you have the 13 was, that included the Shechita and the Zrika and the Trumas HaDeshen and the Truma from the inner Mizbeach. So That's why you have the 4 plus the base 9. That's why you sometimes have 13. Why do you sometimes have 14? So that's when we said, when you have 10 Kohanim involved, for example, on Sukkot, when you need one person to go have the Tzluchas Shamayim, that's when you have 14, because he has to be included in the lottery. Sometimes you have 15. That would be, for example, in the afternoon, when you needed to have the 9 plus 2, because you had Shnei Gezeri Eitzim. So that's why you needed to have sometimes 15. And when 16, that would be on Shabbos, on Sukkot, so that's why you needed sometimes 16. Ah, we understand the Brisa of Ruchia very, very well. Gemara says, but wait a second, there's another Brisa of Otanya, Shivasar. There's another Brisa that says sometimes they needed a pious for 17 Kohanim. How do you have 17? The maximum we just said was 12 that you needed for the Karban Tamid when it was Shabbos, Sukkot, and you're dealing with the morning. So the maximum was 12, plus the other 4 that we said weren't included because they were before the Karban Tamid. So that's how you get 16. How would you ever get 17? So Gemara says, because this Brisa, it says you need 17, Hai the low Kirby Lezben Yaakov. It doesn't go like Rebbe Lezben Yaakov, Ella, Rebbe Yehuda. This goes like the Brisa of Rebbe Yehuda. Now, which Brisa of Yehuda? So it doesn't mean the Brisa of Rebbe Yehuda that says there's no pious for the Machta, because that wouldn't help us out. So this goes like the Brisa of Rebbe Yehuda, where he says, not like Rebbe Lezben ben Yaakov, that you have a separate pious for the Kohen that goes up to the Kevesh and takes from the Kevesh all 6 of those component parts that the first 6 Kohanim put there, and then one Kohen goes and does all of that Haktorah. And therefore, it must be like this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, there's a huge problem with this, because that was done as a separate pious. And this is the Girsa that we have over here in Rashi, but obviously it has certain difficulties with it. And Tosus there, the top Tosus says, while this is the Girsa B'chol HaSvarim, but Rashi erases this from the Girsa Udelo K'Rebbe Yehuda and Goris Elo K'Rebbe Yehuda, because Rashi had to resolve this problem of where is the 17th pious. However, Nirali Lafarish, Tosu says, V'atanya Yud Zayin Pirish B'chol Boker Hayu Yud Zayin L'chol Apachos, that there was 17 every morning. V'lo Mishpachas Lo, and you only find this, Elim Kein Chashavta Kol HaKohanim HaZochin B'chol HaPaisos. It doesn't mean that there was 17 in one Pais, but when you took it all together, which was the Yud Gimel HaZochin B'tomid, that was the regular 13 that we had for the Karban Tomid on a regular day, and then one, V'chad B'trumas HaDesha, that was the first pious that we talked about, that's 14. V'chad Amala Evar Mikevish LaMizbeach, that was the fourth pious, and that was another one. So now we're up to 15, and then Utrei de Ketores, Udamachta, because you had two additional ones, the one who got the Zocha to be doing the Ketores, and the one who was Zocha to bring the Machta, Hare Yud Zayin. That's how Tosa says you get 17. And therefore, Hainu Delok Rebbe Lezben Yaakov, it's not like Rebbe Lezben Yaakov, who says that the same ones who put the Evarim and the Pidarim of the Karban Tamid up onto the middle of the Kevesh, they continue to do it. So it's not like Rebbe Lezben Yaakov, because here there were separate ones that did it. And it's also not like Rebbe Yehuda, who said that there isn't a special pious for the Machta, this Tana, who says there's 17 in total, not in one pious, but in total, there were 17 Kohanim. It doesn't go like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, that's how Tosos understands this Gemara. Let's start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and says, Ayil. If you have an Ayil is, of course, a ram, and it is, by definition, a second-year ram, which we remember we previously talked about, that in the first year it's called a keves, and in the second year it's called an ayil, and an ayil is, by definition, more than 13 months and less than 2 years. In that 13th month, it's called a palkis, if you remember. Now, so this ayil, which is a bigger animal than a regular sheep that is brought as the Karban Tamid. So here we're not talking about the Karban Tamid. Here we're talking about a Karban Musaf, let's say, that's an ayil. So here you need 11 Kohanim. Ayil, Karib Yachadasar. Why 11? Habasa B'chamisha. You have the same 5 for the meat that you have by the Karban Tamid, because the ram is not that much bigger than a keves, and therefore, you're going to need only 5 Kohanim to carry it, not including the Kirbayim. The Kirbayim is 2 Kohanim, whereas by a Karban Tamid it's only 1, but the regular 5 Kohanim, again, for the head and the right hind leg, the Chazay and the Geira, for the Shnei Yadayim and the Shnei Defanos and the Oketz and the left hind leg, so therefore that's the 5 regular Kohanim for a Karban Tamid. They're also for an Ayil, but here, where you have only one Kohen doing the regular Karban Tamid for the Kirbayim, here you have for the Kirbayim and the Solas and the Yayin, the flour offering and the wine offerings that come along with an Ayil are bigger than for a keves, right? For a keves, you have a revi'is ahin, and for an ayil, you have a shlishis ahin. So therefore, it's larger, and you need two Kohanim to hold it. Not because it's so much heavier, but because it's more of a kavod, and you want to demonstrate that this is bigger than the kevis, so we therefore have two Kohanim. So you have the five base for the basar, then you have the kirbayim, the solus, and the yayin, two each, bishnayim, shnayim, so that's six, so six plus five is the 11. That's why an ayil has 11 Kohanim involved with it. Now, for a par is a cow, which is a bigger animal. It has even larger nesachim that go with it. It has a chatziyahin. So you can have for the wine and for the mincha flowerings a larger amount. So a par requires 24 Kohanim. Par kari be'esim v'yarbo. You need 24. Why is that? So again, you have the base five for the meat, but you have more Kohanim than you need here because the meat is heavier. So instead of a rosh or a regel being only one, like it was for the kevis and for the ayil, here for the rosh and the regel, harosh bi'echad, the head is much bigger, so you need one kohen just to carry the head. For a regel b'shnayim, you need two kohanim to carry the right hind leg. So you're up to three. Ha'okets for a regel, the hind quarter and the left back leg. So there you need, again, two ha'okets b'shnayim and ha'regel b'shnayim. So that's four. So that's four plus the three for the head and the right hind leg. So we're up to seven. Now, ha'chaziv ha'gera, so here you require four kohanim. Ha'chaziv ha'echad and ha'gera b'shlosha. So that's four plus seven, we're up to 11. Shnei yadayim b'shnayim, that's easy. Each one carries one foreleg. So from 11 we go to 13. U'shnei defonos b'shnayim. So you just need two more kohanim. So now we're up to 15. Each kohen holds one of the flanks. Now, Hakir Bayim Vasolus Vayayin over here, instead of having one for each of them, or two for each of them, like by the ayil, he needs three for each of them. Because again, we want to show more cover to this and show that it's a larger animal. B'shlosha shlosa. So from the 15, we now have to add on 3, 3, and 3. That's 9, and that's how we get the total of 24. Now, under what circumstances is this? When are we talking about? This is for a karbanos tzibur. When you're bringing a kevis for the carbon tzibur, an ayil for the carbon tzibur, or a pyre for the carbon seabor, so then you need to use this amount of kohanim that we described. However, avol b'karbon yochid, for a private person's individual carbon, so then if he wishes to, imrotzo lahakriv, he's allowed to go and choose a single kohen to do the entire bringing up of the entire parts of the animal, makriv. That is permissible to do so. It's his choice. It's his private carbon, and he can pick which kohen he would like to go and do it. That is the din. Now, the Mishnah concludes and says, Hefsheiton v'nituchon, the flaying, hefsheit means the flaying of the animal, from the hide, removing the hide from the body, and v'nituchon, and cutting it up into its component parts, to be put up on the Mizbeach. These are all olos, and they have to be put on the Mizbeach, kolil toktor, they're totally put up on the Mizbeach. For all of these, shel elu v'elu, whichever one you're dealing with, the kevis, the ayil, or the par, shoven, whether they're individual offering, or whether they're communal offering, a tzibur offering, they all have the same rule in the hefshet and the nituach. And the Gemara jumps in and says, what are we talking about? Tana, hefshet of a nituach and shavim bizar. It tells us that they're both identical in the din, that a non-kohen is allowed to do the hefshet and the nituach, whether it's even a carbon tzibur, and certainly if it's a carbon yochid. That's what it means at the end of the Mishnah, hefshet of a nituach and shalelu ve'elu shavim. And now we're going to stop over here, but now the Gemara is going to tell us, Amar Chizkia minayin lehevshet b'nituach sheshav v'bizar. What is the source for this din that a non-kohen, a zar, is allowed to do the hevshet and the nituach? So we'll pick up here tomorrow the psukim that we darshin out. Tomorrow will be a lot of darshin psukim to figure this din out. With this, we conclude today's shir.